I know me better than anyone. That is, anyone except God, for he knows us. Often when God calls someone in the Bible to service, they thought he was making a big mistake. And how true that is today. We can think of several people, for example. One was Saul. If you remember, he hid in a basket one time. Then there was Gideon. He hid in a wheat field. So even these famous men that we know, they tried to hide from God too. Even Moses argued with God at the burning bush. His excuse was that he was poor of speech. Yet look what God did with him. Another misconception is that God uses only perfect people. While that is true that God uses only perfect people, the fact is that the Bible says that the only reason we are perfect is because he has cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb on the cross. The perfection we have is only because of what he has done in us. The Apostle Paul said, "Not by my righteousness, but the righteousness that comes through Christ." God uses those who will humble themselves before God and will make themselves available to him. To put it more today's language, Pastor Chuck Smith has said, it's your ability. It's not your ability, but your availability that God seeks. Of course, we must remember, if God calls you, he will also enable you. And if God calls you, he will also empower you for that work. So what does it take to be used by God? Well, let's look for an answer in one instance here. Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. And there is a significant statement made here by Isaiah. Beginning in verse 1, the first thing he says is, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." Now, why is this so significant that he saw Uzziah? Well, put a marker there or keep something there in Isaiah. We'll come back. But let's quickly go over to 2 Chronicles 26. And see what it is about Uzziah. After a whole line of many bad kings in Israel, there was Uzziah. And beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Midianites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall, and then he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number of their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe. Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 300 and 7,500. That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. We see what happens with Uzziah. As he seeked God, he was blessed. The whole country was blessed. Everybody around him was blessed. I mean, he became strong. But what happens? As we continue, we can see at the end there of verse 15 and then on into 16, he was helped, marvelously helped, till he became strong. But and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up and is to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead, before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. I imagine it was within shock, too. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. So what happens when the success went to his head and when he became puffed up? Tragedy. He became great in his own eyes. And that's just an example of what happens when you try to do something on your own. For God has given us instructions on how to serve him, and we must abide by his rules when we get involved in any ministry. Now, to go back to Isaiah, this is what was on his mind when he had this vision. And this is to continue on in verse 1. "And I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And to get an idea of what that was like, "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried." So it must have been like thunder, just everything vibrating. "And the house was filled with smoke." So the first principle of being used by God is to see God as he is. And this is what Isaiah did here. He saw God as he is. And we might ask, well, how do we do that today? The study of his word, this book right here. That's why it is so very important that we stay in God's word and stay on our knees in prayer so that we can see God as he is. And then to continue, "So I said," Isaiah was saying, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But when Isaiah saw God as he is, Isaiah saw himself correctly. You know, it's funny, we always get a true picture of our own sinfulness when we see God in all his glory. And this is something that Isaiah kept on his mind. Because we cannot be used by God until we first see God. And we must know him before we can serve him. In fact, keep your finger there in Isaiah and let's go over to Philippians 3. Where Paul makes mention of this. About us having a relationship. In Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, by righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So even Paul mentions that we must have a personal relationship with Christ. Walking with righteousness is so important. In fact, let's go back to Isaiah here for the last time again. In verse 6, after Isaiah said he was the man of unclean lips, he says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged, or atoned for. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So in this we also see God's desire to use someone for his service. And believe me, God is still seeking for people to be in his service today. Will you accept God's invitation to use you for his glory? Isaiah made himself available because God had cleansed him. And we can see also, a big surprise, everybody thought last week we were out of 1 Peter. Well, I got a verse there, so we can go back to 1 Peter. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. You should be there quickly because the Bible's probably open there automatically. And in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says, but then all the things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak with oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Remember, right there, it's not our ability, it is our availability. What might the Lord be saying these last days? You know, only the ones that have an ear to hear will know what the Spirit is saying to the church today. And again, how do we know that? By staying in God's Word and on our knees. One problem we do find in many churches today is that everyone seems to have his or own agenda. They say they want to be used by God, but when you ask them to do something, you get an answer like, "Oh, that's not my ministry. God has not called me to do that." Or maybe you might get, "I'll have to pray about it." True, you should pray about it. But is this just an excuse not to serve just anywhere because they have their own agenda? So that's something else we have to look out for, is agendas. God is looking for servants. He's not looking for specialists. He wants laborers that are willing to yoke themselves with Christ in his service. Let's quickly go back a few to Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And let's see, in verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder," this is what Paul is saying, "I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, but which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Our motivation for serving should be out of love for him and one another. Isaiah did not come with his own agenda. He did not say to God, "I really want to be used by you, but just remember, I don't want to be a minor prophet, I want to be a major prophet." No, that's not what he said. All he said was, "Here I am, use me." If we want to be used by God, we must follow his agenda. We must know there is work to be done, and we will go out and do it. Let's review a little bit here. We see that Uzziah started out great. God was with him. He was given success. All around him were blessed. But he got carried away to himself. Then take Isaiah. Isaiah saw this vision. And the first thing that came to his mind, he was reminded of Uzziah and what happened to him. Because Isaiah took the time to see God as he is, and to see himself as he was. But we must know God first. And we must have that relationship with Christ. And we must be available. I have some questions you might want to ask yourself. Number one is, have you responded to the call, "Whom shall I send?" Another question, have you ever been asked by someone in leadership to do something and your answer was, "That's not my ministry," or "I must pray about it first"? Did you really want direction? What is keeping you from serving? Could fear of failure be stopping you? When, remember, the Lord told us that he will enable you to do the work, and he will empower you to do the work. Then again, have you made yourself available? No? For example, here, have you filled out a ministry application? Another important question is, what should be our motivation for serving? Actually, I'll give you the answer to that. There is only one reason, and one reason only: the glorification of God. That's it. Or is it that you're just too busy with life? I know Today's life can be hectic, and sometimes we can get pretty busy. I have a little analogy for you on that. When things in your life seem almost too much, when 24 hours in a day are not enough, remember the mayonnaise jar and the coffee. You say, what? Okay. A professor stood before his class and had some items in front of him. When the class began, wordlessly he picked up a very large and empty mayonnaise jar and proceeded to fill it with golf balls. He then asked the students, is the jar full? And they agreed that it was. The professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured it into the jar. He shook the jar lightly, and the pebbles rolled around, filling in the open areas between the golf balls. He put it down, and then he asked the men, is the jar full? And they agreed it was. The professor then picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. Of course, the sand filled everything else, and he asked once more if the jar was full. The students responded with a unanimous yes. The professor then produced two cups of coffee from under the table and poured the entire contents into the jar, effectively filling the empty spaces between the sand. The students laughed. Now, said the professor, as the laughter subsided, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The golf balls are the important things. God, your family, your children, your health, your friends. Things that if everything else was lost and only they remained, your life would still be full. The pebbles are other things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand, that's everything else, the small stuff. Then he went on to say, if you put the sand into the jar first, there's no room for the pebbles or the golf balls. The same goes for life. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are important to you. Pay attention to the things that are critical to your happiness. Be in God's Word. Be with God. Play with your children. Take time to get a medical checkups. Take your spouse, your partner out to dinner. There's always, there'll always be time to clean the house and fix the garbage disposal, that's for sure. Take care of the golf balls first, the things that really matter. Set your priorities. The rest is just sand. Well, then one of the students raised her hand and inquired, what was the coffee represented? The professor smiled. I'm glad you asked. It just goes to show you that no matter how full your life may seem, there's always room for a couple of cups of coffee with a friend. So may the Lord give us all servants' hearts with the desire to serve Him wherever we are needed. May we never refuse to serve the Lord because we have our own agenda. There are many needs and always a shortage of workers. If only we will believe that God will enable us to do this work. It was Dwight Moody who said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something by the grace of God. Let's pray.